What a man sows, he will reap. We've been seeing that unchangeable and unrelenting law painfully illustrated in the life of David. He was guilty of adultery, murder, and deceit, and those very things are happening in his own family. Already his infant son has died, and on this Thursday edition of our Through the Bible broadcast, we'll hear about a much greater tragedy. His favorite son, Absalom, leads in a rebellion against his own father. The sad consequences of sin are continuing and increasing in intensity. Our teacher is Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and his study is coming to 2 Samuel 15 and 16. What do you know about the church in Mongolia? Well, if you answered not much, then maybe this audio clip from a conversation Greg Harris and I had recently might help you. You know, as it relates to Mongolia, I know that there's a very interesting history of the church in Mongolia, and it's a pretty amazing story. That's part of the reason that you were first drawn to go to that part of the world and see what opportunities that we had there. For those of you that don't know a lot about Mongolia, in 1989, get this, they determined that there were four Christians in the entire country in 1989.
Wait, 4,400?
Four. As
total.
In me, you,
and two other
and
people.
Two other people. That was it.
Wow.
Now, there's over 100,000 Christians in a country of 2.6 million. So, pretty amazing growth over the last 25 years. And the fact that the entire church in Mongolia is only 25 years old. So think about that. You've got people that came to Christ maybe as young kids or in early teens. The Lord typically saves people in their early years. So you've got leaders in that church that are in their early 30s probably.
Yes, that are
actively involved.
Correct. In fact, Steve, on my trips to Mongolia, when I meet with quote-unquote elders of the church, and I mean the national church, the heads of the Mongolian Evangelical Alliance, they're younger than you and I are.
Yeah.
And they are almost all, by definition, first-generation Christians. And so this is really what I call a perfect circumstance, or you might call it a perfect storm of circumstances for a Through the Bible ministry. In fact, I mentioned I've been to Mongolia three times in the last 8 years. And on my second trip, I visited with these heads of these national church leadership organizations. Steve, they actually said to me, we need Through the Bible. We've got to get grounded in the Word of God. Yeah.
And we really looked at it as a board as the ideal context for Through the Bible's ministry. You've got many new believers, and they've got a shallow understanding of the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's just a great opportunity for people who are hungry to learn more about the Word of God to put in a systematic teaching of the Word of God that's as solid as Through the Bible is. To hear more, go to our website and look for the Global Impact Report podcast on Mongolian. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that the church in Mongolia would be strengthened and that the new Mongolian broadcast will be used to strengthen your children and call many more to faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, if you have your Bible turned to 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter, that's where we're beginning today. Last time we saw that David, after committing that terrible sin, that trouble came to him, and it came thick and fast. The same way he had sinned, why, sin came into his own family, and he's not through with it by any means. This man, God took him to the woodshed. And we find here in the 15th chapter that Absalom leads a rebellion against David. Now, Absalom was his son, and Absalom was the brother of Tamar, and it was, you will remember, that Amnon raped the sister of Absalom. David wouldn't do anything about it. Absalom took the matter in his own hands, and of course, it was a terrible thing to do, but he murdered Amnon, and then he had to flee. And David finally permitted him to come back, but it was a half-hearted forgiveness. He refused to see the face of his own son, and that was very hard. It was very difficult, and personally, he should not have taken that position at all. Now, he should have opened up his arms and received Absalom. He loved him, and God had completely forgiven David, and he should have forgiven that way himself. But he didn't. And now Absalom, in a very subtle way, he begins to steal the hearts of the children of Israel. And he was a very attractive young fellow. He was very much like his father David in many, many ways. And he was the heir apparent to the throne anyway, successor to David. And we find that now why he begins to move very secretly. And he secretly plotted to overthrow David. It was a dastardly deed. But chickens are coming home to roost for David. And actually a revolution broke out. And it was very formidable. It caused David to have to flee from Jerusalem. Now, will you notice here what took place? I'm reading chapter 15, verse 1. It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early, stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Absalom said, moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. May I say, he's a true politician, is he not? That is the way today that a great many men get elected to office. They have no qualification other than that they have the qualification of going out, shaking hands, backslapping. And very frankly, that's where a great many preachers get by today, is that method. They can't preach, they can't teach, but they sure can slap back. And unfortunately, you and I, that is what appeals to us. And as far as I can tell from the Word of God, that's the way Antichrist will come to power. He's going to be the greatest little backslapper that the world has ever seen. Now, Absalom was good at that. He stood in the gate. And he said, "Oh, if I was only a judge here, you'd get justice." Well, you can understand the appeal that that would make. If you vote me in office, I'll solve all the problems. I'll be able to solve all the foreign affairs and all the domestic affairs. That's what the politicians tell us. And unfortunately, you and I listen to them and we vote for them and then they don't do it, of course. Now, Absalom is preparing here for a rebellion, of course, against his own father David. Here's rebellion in the house of David. It's a terrible thing. Now, it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, "I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron." Absalom sends a message in to the king that he wants to go to Hebron. "For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I'll serve the Lord." And that's an unusual thing. He wants to go pay a vow in Hebron. Syria's to the north. That's where he went. And the king said unto him, "Go in peace." So he arose and went to Hebron. Now notice what he did. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." Now you will recall that's where David began, was in Hebron. He was king there first. Absalom goes down there and begins his rebellion, you see. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. In other words, these 200 men came along, but they did not know that rebellion was prepared against David. Now, in verse 12, "And Absalom sent to Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increase continually with Absalom. Now you see, this is a rebellion that gained momentum. It snowballed as it went along. And there are great company, and actually Ahithophel was in the inner councils of David, and he was a partner to all of this. And so we find that before David actually realizes what's happened, why there is this rebellion. Now, David does a very strange thing. There came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." That's verse 13. "And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." Now, David is going to flee from Jerusalem, and the question arises, why did he flee? Because David loved the city of Jerusalem. And why did he not take a stand in this city? Well, the very interesting thing is, I'm confident that David knew God was punishing him for his sin. When I say I know that he knew it, well, we're told that, by the way. If you go over to the 15th chapter, down as far as the 25th verse, you will hear David say, "The king said unto Zadok, Carry back the ark of God unto the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he'll bring me again and show me both it and the habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." In other words, David knew what was happening to him was a judgment that was coming from God. And then, do you recall that David, back in the 13th chapter, that at that particular time, verses 13 and 14, we are told that, "And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he'll not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she forced her and lay with her." David was disgraced, you see, and that was an awful thing. David wanted to spare life in the city. This scandal had taken place there. And then you will recall he had stayed in Jerusalem when he should have been out with his army at the time of the great sin of Bathsheba, when he should have been out fighting. He stayed yet in Jerusalem. He's leaving it now because he knew God was punishing him. And then David loved Jerusalem. He did not want to see the city he built and loved become the scene of battle. And you will find that that is the thing that he says. David went up, verse 30 of this chapter. "David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up." This is the thing that David wanted to do, was to spare the city. He didn't want it to become a scene of battle. And yet this city was to be destroyed more than any other city because of its rebellion and sin. There's another reason. David was not ready to press the issue with Absalom. Actually, he wanted to spare the life of Absalom, and you'll find out that when we get to the next chapter that it was in his heart to spare the life of this boy. And he said to the captains, "Remember my boy Absalom. See that no harm comes to him." And he really wanted to spare the life of the boy. He loved him. I think he loved him above every other person on this earth. And David, therefore, he now leaves Jerusalem. Now his life is in grave danger. And that's something that's not new to David. Actually, he was more concerned about his own relationship to God and his relationship with Absalom. And Absalom had two counselors that he had taken, Ahithophel, who betrayed David, and Hushai, that we'll see about later. David wanted to lead his army to battle, we'll find out. They just won't let him go into battle. Now, with that kind of a background, let's look at this rebellion that is taking place. And David now is leaving Jerusalem. And as he went out into the country, we find that he wept. And there's an incident that takes place I'd like to call your attention to here. Let me drop down to verse 19. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." You see, this man that had come into the city, he told him not to follow him. And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. David had many loyal followers, you see, many that were willing to lay down their life for him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up unto all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, "Carry back the ark of God unto the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he'll bring me again and show me both it." You see, David recognized what was happening to him was a judgment of God. He sends the ark back now. And we're told that when David went out, he went out weeping over the Mount of Olives. And verse 31, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." And God did just that. But you notice he asked for no judgment upon Absalom. Verse 32, "It came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai, the Archite, came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city, say unto Absalom, I'll be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel." We find verse 37, "So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem." Now, chapter 16 here, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddle, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, That this is a gift from Mephibosheth because of his wonderful treatment, you know, that David had gave unto him. Now we come to another man who betrayed David. "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. He cast stones at David and that all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." Well, what he's saying is true, that he was a bloody man, and that judgment was coming upon him, and no question about that. But this man is cursing David, of course. "Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king, let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And I tell you, this captain of David, he was for absolutely silencing this man. Now notice David's reaction now. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai, to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my being, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. The point is this. David said, I don't mind this outsider cursing me. I don't want to take revenge on him. The thing that's happening to me is a judgment of God. The thing that disturbs me is my own boy, my own son, Absalom, that's leading this rebellion against me. Now we see Absalom taking Jerusalem. And Absalom and all the people of the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. Came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was coming to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said to Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left, to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. This was a man David had trusted, you see. Now we find that David is outside, back out in the dens and the caves of the earth. What is he going to do? Well, we're going to find that Absalom is going to try, actually, to get a victory over David's forces. And David was an old veteran. Remember, he knew how to fight. Absalom's doing a very dangerous thing to go against his father. And David actually wanted to save Absalom. You'll find that how he loved him. And then we're going to see next time what really happened to Absalom. These are difficult days for David. I'm sure by now your heart goes out in sympathy to this man. But this man's not whimpering or crying aloud. He just says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Just so I know things are right with God, I'll bear these burdens that come upon me. David's a great man, friends. It's awful he committed that sin. But he's like a wonderful piece of statuary that just has one flaw in it. And that's the way a great many Christians are today. Did you ever meet one that didn't have a flaw? Well, we all, I think, have a flaw in our lives. Thank God he'll not throw us overboard.
Well, David tells us in Psalm 103 that the Lord forgives all our iniquities. He's slow to anger and abounds in mercy. And then David goes on to say, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So God does care about us, and he won't throw us overboard. Thank the Lord for that. Has the Lord been speaking to you through these studies in the life of David? We trust that he has. If you'd like to know more about the life of David, we suggest Dr. McGee's hardback book titled David, A Man After God's Own Heart. The introduction of the book describes it this way. Set chronologically, the messages contained in this book focus on major episodes in the life of David whose experiences not only tell the story of a life lived totally for God, but also paint a picture of God's undying mercy, forgiveness, and love. Dr. McGee retells these stories in order to draw out applications on salvation, worship, obedience, faith, and God's discipline and forgiveness. To contact our offices to order the book, let us know of your interest in this ministry, or to ask for the notes and outlines for these studies, call 1-800-65-BIBLE Monday through Thursday from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Or write to Through the Bible Radio in the U.S., Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Or visit our website at www.ttb.org. Now, during the past few lessons, we've been seeing the consequences of David's sin. Tomorrow continues that pattern as we learn about one of the saddest experiences in the life of David. So be sure to join us and invite someone to listen with you as the Bible bus rolls along on its 5-year journey through the Bible.
Sin had left a crimson stain.
This program has been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Through the Bible Radio Network.